This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi na'hmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'aghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu falamudillala wa man yudlil falahadiyala. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh amma ba'du fa inna asdaqal hadith kitabullah wa khayral hadi hadi muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa sharral umuri muhdathatuha wa kullu muhdathatin bid'ah wa kullu bid'atin dalalatin wa kullu dalalatin fin nar rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we find that we live as a Muslim ummah in strange times, that there are various temptations or distractions or tribulations that are disturbing this Muslim ummah. That key word that we want to focus upon tonight is the word al-fitna. The word al-fitna, amongst its ma'ani, its meanings we find, is trials and tribulations. Thus, if you pick up any book of hadith, you'll find towards the end of the compilation, you'll find a book entitled Kitab al-Fitan, the book of trials and tribulations that this Muslim ummah will face towards the end of time, whether it be the coming of Ad-Dajjal, the Antichrist, Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, Gog and Magog, the return of Isa ibn Maryam alayhim as-salam, and other signs towards the end of time. Likewise, you find al-malhamatul kubra, the final Armageddon, the war bayna as-sira' bayna al-kufri wal-iman, the war between kufr, disbelief, and iman. That is one meaning of fitna, trials and tribulations. The Quran also mentions as well, Alif la mim ahasiba an-nasu an yutraku an yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun wa laqad fatanna alladhina min qablihim fala ya'lamanna Allahu alladhina sadaqu wa la ya'lamanna al-kadhibin. The beginning of the 29th chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Ankabut. Do people perceive to think they're going to be left alone? They make the statement, we believe, and they will not be tested, they will not be trialed. Indeed, we did test and trial the people that came before them, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may highlight those who are the truthful individuals and those who are the liars. Obviously, for some of us, we may be thinking, this doesn't concern me. The trials and tribulations that take place around the Muslim globe at the moment, or what will happen towards the end of time, I just want to live today. I want to live today's life and enjoy whatever I can at the moment. And that is the second meaning of al-fitna, which concerns the rest of a large portion of our Muslim community and youth. The other meaning of al-fitna is temptations, is shahawat, is desires, to fall into various trials and tribulations, temptations that we're surrounded by. We are surrounded by many temptations that we find many of the Muslim youth unfortunately begin to fall into those temptations. And this falling into temptations is a sign of a shallow individual. Some of these individuals, they think that they are men in falling into these evil practices and actions. A real man, a real individual, is one who controls and overrides the emotions and the desires and doesn't fall into these fitan, these temptations, these desires. Temptation and desires is an integral part of non-Muslims. If you go and say to them, look, this is haram, this is impermissible, this is sinful, they take it as a part of their life. They don't take going out Friday night as haram. Drinking alcohol is haram. Taking drugs is haram. It's part of their life. It's part of their creed. That's the way that they live their lives. The sad fact is that some of us Muslims are trying to enforce that this is how our life should be as well. The Quran mentions about those disbelievers that these individuals, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. These people only know the external factors of this world in terms of development, construction, technology. That's the only things the Quran is praising them. that disbelievers are excellent about these things. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. As for the hereafter, they are heedless, they are shallow, have no soul, have no belief. So one side of the Qur'an praises them, on the other side of the Qur'an defames them, that these individuals are totally lost. Indeed, the Qur'an mentions about these individuals, that these individuals have become كَالْأَنْعَامِ, have become like cattle, like beast. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. These people are worse than cattle, worse than a cow, a camel, a beast. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ. Quran says these people are far astray, misguided individuals. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. These are heedless individuals, have no understanding of what this life is all about. Another passage of the Quran mentions, ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا. Leave these people to eat and drink. These are derogatory words inside the Quran, because to eat and drink is the way of animals, al-baha'im. Animals, they eat and they drink. The Quran is saying, leave them alone to eat and drink. And eventually time will come upon them, فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. They know what the ending is going to be. That's much of the fasad, the corruption, the fitna that we face upon the moment upon this earth. Quran mentions that this fitna, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Corruption appears upon the land and the oceans because what man sends forth with his own hands. You may taste the fruits of your action. The life that you live, taste the fruits. Maybe you may begin to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places there. Another passage of the Quran Allah mentions, أَوَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّهُمْ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنَ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ وَلَا هُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Don't you see that we test you once or twice in a year, that you may repent and you may return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So life upon this world for a believer, for a Muslim, is different from the way these individuals live their life. And we don't want to spend too much time discussing these individuals and what they do. We want to see what's happened to many of our own individuals, that the type of life that they're living, trying to aspire to become like those individuals, to imitate them, to be like them. In a hadith that we find, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever imitates a people, eventually becomes like those individuals. The Qur'an mentions, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Don't become like those individuals who forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forget you. Those people of paradise are not like the people of the hellfire. Ashabul jannati, people of paradise, humul fa'izun, will always be successful. And that's the whole title, the theme, about there ain't no ghetto in paradise. Because many of us think that we may return back to a better life. If you live a wretched life upon this earth, you've destroyed this earth yourself. You live in that ghetto mentality. You've created that ghetto environment amongst yourselves. And then you think that when somehow when you come back to paradise, you're going to have a better life given to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unjust to any individual. But if you live a life of disrespecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turning away from the life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just turn you away. That's the Quran mentions, فَمَنْ أَعْرَدَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَدْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. Whoever turns away from my remembrance, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this earth, we will raise that individual in a state of blindness. قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَدْتَنِي أَعْمَى. Oh my Lord, why have you made me blind today? وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. I had the ability to visualize and to see. Because upon this dunya, the signs were shown to you, but you turn away from them. وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. And thus today you'll be forgotten by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as some of us Muslims, we want to play games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to follow a certain pattern, way of life, and then we think, وَتَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. Inside Surah Yusuf, the 12th chapter of the Quran that we find, that the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they decided to either throw him in the well or before they tried to kill him. And they said that after we do this evil action, وَتَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ, then afterwards we become good, pious individuals. You know this methodology of the Qur'an, how many young Muslims thing exactly the same. Thousands of years ago, the brothers Yusuf said, we'll do haram, we'll try to harm our own brother, and we'll come back and become a good Muslim. Exactly what happens on road today. Many Muslims say, I'll just live this life, and somewhere along the line, I'll come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll become a better individual. You know how much the percentage of those people who ever come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very minimal amount. That aspiration for many of us never comes true. Never comes true. Because we've been drifting away so far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we think that maybe for some special reason that we could be just forgiven for whatever we've done upon this earth. And that's this practice, these evil practices around us. These are symbols of non-Muslims. These are their symbols. This is their way of life. It's their culture. It's their belief. We should not begin to think that we can be exactly like them. And thus you find that those disbelievers, they want you to be like them. فَتَكُونُ سَوَى That you be identical to them. That you, they want us to imitate them, to begin to copy them. Thus you find inside the Sharia, that when certain things are made haram or halal upon this Muslim ummah, it's not based upon your own feelings and your own tastes and your own desires. The Quran mentions, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ Oh, you believe, oh individuals, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ Say, impure substances and pure substances cannot be the same. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ Even though impure substances may startle you, they may begin to dazzle a person, that there is a high life, there is a good life, there's wealth out there, there's property out there, trafficking of drugs, there may be 10k to be earned a week, trafficking of heroin, cocaine, whatever it may be. It's a good lifestyle that a person can benefit from it. But the Quran says quite clearly, وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ A real Muslim, a real individual sees straight through, crystal clear, that all of this is nothing but design to snatch my iman away, to take me away from the path. And that's in the Sharia that we find. The Sharia is based upon five basic elementary principles. Whenever I make something halal and make something haram, weigh it up according to this. Islam came, hifdhul irdi, wal aqli, wal dini, wal mali, wal nafs. And Islam came to preserve your intellect. It came to preserve your body, your soul, your deen, your wealth, and your honor and your dignity. Anytime Islam says this is something haram, go and study it. What do drugs do to a person? There's no benefit to your mind, to your body, to your soul, to your deen, to your wealth. There is no benefit. People may think there's some benefit, even the Quran mentions. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا People ask you about gambling, about alcohol, about khamar, intoxicants, about drugs, they ask you about this. Say in them there is some benefit, but their sin outweighs the benefit. What is the benefit that we see that people think there's a benefit for them indulging inside these haram substances? Look at most of these individuals. What happens to their life, how they begin to destroy their own lives, destroy everything around them. يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ They destroy their homes with their own hands. That's what they do, destroy their own homes with their own hands via these substances. That these fitan, these trials and these tribulations that you find, or these temptations, have gone so much into such many of our Muslim youth, that they feel it's a part of their life. That if I have not been indulged inside these haram substances, then there's something wrong with me. It is not the normal way of life for a Muslim to indulge inside those evil practices. And thus we find that this, the culture that begins to take place, or this ghetto mentality that begins to take place, that people believe that their life is based upon three things, as they say, that they need revenge, revenue, and respect. These are the three R's that revolve around in your community at the moment that you find. That's all that life revolves around. It's either to revenge, or to gain their revenue, or to gain their respect. And what we say to these individuals is rest, rip, and reap. Your fruits inside the grave, inside the hereafter. That's what's going to be given to you. That if you think that via living this drug lifestyle, or this gangster lifestyle that you find, or the ghetto lifestyle, that people begin to aspire to these individuals. And we're not those individuals who don't know what takes place around us inside our community, whether you want to take it all the way back to East London, or back to South London, whether it be all the way going back to the Cray twins in the 60s, the Richardsons inside South London, all the way to what people in our community begin to aspire for in this community. Either looking at the Burger Bar boys, or looking at the Johnsons. That's what many of the young boys, Muslim youth, look up to them. Or you find, what else, the redheads that you find inside this area, or the Birmingham, Muslim Birmingham Panthers, that you find movements around here. Read the essence of many of these movements. They were created to protect their identity, their culture. But then they spilled over and began to harm one another. Futile killings that begin to take place, harming one another. Just recently that we find, just for looking at a person, this is pure jahiliyyah, pure ignorance. He looked at me in such a manner, he's causing offense to me. So this person needs to be taken out of the community. You know, not even animals don't behave in that manner. Even animals have a code of silence and conduct. You walk past the jungle, you walk by, you let them walk by freely. We become worse than animals. He walked into my area, like we have post-Cold Wars that you find, walked into your turf, so these people need to be taught a lesson. Is that how Muslims we should behave? Is that the way that we should conduct ourselves? Is that how shallow our life has become? That on top of that we begin to harm one another. Another Muslim, innocent Muslims, get hurt, or get beaten up, or get tortured, or get kidnapped. All of it based largely upon the drug trade that we find. That many Muslims are exploiting this trade, involved in pimping of women, prostitution. This is a respectable industry. You're a respectable individual inside your community that you think people should look up to you. Why do you think people should look up to you? If that's the lifestyle that you live, and you think there should be some element of respect that should be given to you, those individuals who live that lifestyle, there's going to be an evil ending for them. That's the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way that you carry on sustaining yourself and taking care of yourself, it would only be a matter of time, as I say before, time catches up to you. And when time does catch up to you, there will be no escape. There's many individuals who've been sent for many, many years for journeys into prison that you find. For them, they believe that I wasn't involved inside this. But for many of the years, they conduct themselves in an evil manner. And just it happened to be that one day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined that this is the time you need to take these individuals to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These fitna that we find, these trials and these tribulations, as we mentioned, amongst the first fitna that we find, is shurbul khamr, the drinking of alcohol. How many young Muslims will get legless on a Friday night, on a Saturday, on a Sunday, and even, may Allah forbid, any day, in a state of intoxication, in a state of drunkenness? This is not our way of life, that we should get drunk, or we need alcohol, or we need something to hallucinate ourselves, or to wash our worries away. It costs this government billions of pounds. The biggest terrorist threat inside this country is alcohol abuse. Nearly every other crime committed in this country is based upon alcohol. That's the reality. So if you think that the use of alcohol will hallucinate myself, will give me aspiration, will give me strength, give me ability, or show that I'm a manhood, then you've clearly misunderstood what life is all about. Because the Quran mentions that there's a purpose in life. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ. Do you think that we just created you in a state of vanity? There's no purpose. You just somehow seem to live upon this earth, do whatever you want to do, and that's the end of life. That's not how the Quran documents what life is. There is a purpose for the individual to be upon this life. Either you will gain from that purpose, or you will become a wretched individual upon following the incorrect purpose upon this life. So this use of khamr that we find inside the Quran documented many, many places. While the Quran mentions quite explicitly inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th chapter verses 90 and 91, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ فَهَلْ أَنتُم مُّنْتَهُونَ. Or you believe in the drinking of alcohol, in the gambling, in the throwing of divine arrows, sacrificing on the altars, the stones, is the filthy handiwork of the devil. فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Stay away from it, that you may become a successful yani individual. Indeed, shaitan only wants to create animosity and hatred amongst yourselves and within yourselves via the use of alcohol and gambling. And take you away from the dhikr of Allah. Take you away from remembering Allah, and take you away from the establishment of as-salah. Will you not abstain? So how many Muslims, unfortunately, young Muslims, They take this evil substance. They feel it's a part of their life. They feel it's their culture. We're not hooligans. We don't have alcohol abuse that should exist amongst us. But unfortunately, that's what's taking place. Sometimes openly, inside our society, the people, they have no shame. As you find a hadith, you have no shame. Do whatever you want to do. And this is a great big fitna that we're facing. That sin is no longer sirran. Is no longer hidden. That people say, don't talk about these things. Al-an sir, alanan. You find that the sin in our community is out in the open. Many people are saying outside on the roads, now people will come and start trafficking their drugs. In the open. There's no more shame. And the Quran mentions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those people will love to spread illicit behavior, bad behavior amongst the believers. For them there will be an evil punishment inside this world and likewise inside the Akhirah. That's the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That those individuals want to spread vice. We're not here to talk about a personal bad problem. Many of us could have a bad problem. Addiction through childhood or whatever it may be. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring those people out of their hardship. But those individuals who think that they've done Teflons out on road, that they think that they can bypass the law, or they think that they can stay away from whatever it may be, and there's no one out there who can tell me. You know, some of them, they think that they are above the law. Yes, you may be above the law, but you're never going to be above the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that inside your life. You'll never be above that law. You may think you're a smart criminal, you may be organized, you may change your SIM card, you may change your rides, you may use code names, you may use drop-off places, you might use phone boxes, whatever it may be, that you use all forms of technology, and different places, you have dropouts, whatever it may be, whatever may exist in the modern world today. But remember one thing, you won't escape the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ وَلَا أَدْنَى مِن ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْثَرْ إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَهُمْ أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا ثُمَّ يُنَبِّعُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. There may not be a secret consultation. There may be three of you sitting together doing something haram or speaking haram. Know that the fourth is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ. Not five of you, and the sixth is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not less than that, not more than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over you. And then He will inform you about all of the actions that you've done upon this earth. So there's no escaping from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Nothing goes hidden. Nothing goes hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether on the earth or in the heavens. Nothing will ever go hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you may hide everything from the people around you. You may fool your parents, you may fool us, you may fool the imams, you may fool the feds, the 5-0, whatever it may be. Fool everyone. Deep down inside your heart, you've only fooled yourself. And as the Quran it begins by mentioning that. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. These people try to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who believe. They only deceive their own selves. And they cannot even recognize they're deceiving their own selves. They don't perceive it. In their hearts is a sickness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increased that sickness inside their hearts. This, all these substances is a sickness. That's what we find as shahwat. That's what ulama mentioned. There's two types of diseases. There's shubuhat, there's doubts inside your belief. You don't know what to believe in. And there's shahwat, a life of lust and desires. This is what's destroyed this Muslim ummah. If you take the Muslim ummah in a globe, it's either we don't know what to believe in. We have rampant, incorrect beliefs. We worship graves, we worship saints, we worship righteous people. We do all types of, you know, fabulous things that we do. All corrupt beliefs. The other side that we find, we live a life of temptations and desires. That's all that concerns us. As long as I can enjoy my life, live life to the fullest. You're only young ones. Do whatever you can do. And at some later stage that we become good individuals. That is what many of us Muslims have been programmed with. That's what many of the Muslim youth, that's all that they're programmed with. It's all about this life. Just enjoying yourself upon this life. And then we'll see about the Akhirah when it comes to the Akhirah. That's what you find when some of these people get caught with their guns and their weapons that you find. What do they say? You know, a 5-year bird, a 5-year jail sentence, like a holiday. It's a holiday. Because at least I'm off-road for a short while. I still control my empire. Everything takes place. These days you get everything inside prisons except for what? Except for women. Apart from that, you name it. People get tabbed, people get ticked.
People getting money collected from outside, they get everything trafficked outside. And even you find that tags are even put on people's heads from inside prison cells. That take so-and-so out. So you know why? Whilst I'm banged up in prison riding my sentence, no one could attribute to me so-and-so pulled the trigger. Because you know why? I'm riding a sentence. I'm already guilty in prison. And that's what the world is existing around us at the moment. That's what the type of atmosphere that these people are living. That they believe that this type of life will give us the success that we want. They don't seem to understand that this life is just a downhill tunnel. Will continue to destroy their life time and time again till eventually you find nothing of these individuals in life will be left. That leads into the second fitna that we find that's surrounding our community at the moment we touched upon. The use of drugs. It's become such common practice at the moment that more people smoke drugs than Benson Hedges at the moment. Marijuana, weed, skunk, spliff, reefer, joint, whatever you want to call it, weed. People smoke more of that than they smoke Benson Hedges. It's become common practice. People come up to me and say, Sheikh, you want a zoot? Huh? Relax yourself a bit. Relax your mind. Put yourself in focus in what you want to do. That's what life has become. People don't even have shame anymore. People walking around with zoots inside their ears. That's what they're doing, walking around, thinking they're a bad man. And I said it many times before, you ain't no Jamaican Yardie. You ain't no Jamaican Yardie. That's not your culture. That's not your life. And that's you find that even this concept, that the 5-year sentence, you know why? Because many of these Jamaican Yardies, there's no DNA substance for them. They try them, black and black crime squad that you find in Metropolitan Police, it's difficult to catch a Jamaican Yardie. Because there's no evidence. So he can shoot many men. When he gets caught and they take his fingerprints, then they can begin to link him up. Other than that, you find many of them come over as a hitman, take many men out and fly back straight away. Because even in Kingston, there's no record of them. There's corruption all the way in Kingston as well. Not just in Pakistan, remember that. There's corruption everywhere. That's a reality. So many of these people, they think, I ride my 5 years for getting caught with a piece. I ride my sentence and I come back on road. I come back on road. Because you know why? Another reason that they give is when I'm going to go down, I'm going to get gunned down anyway. So what's 5 years of my life? What's 5 years of my life of going down? When I know when I come back on road, that man is going to gun me down. So I may as well take the 5 years, come out, and enjoy whatever I can in my life. That's what many of these individuals, that's what their life has become. That's the reality of their life. Live by the gun, die by the gun. That's the reality of them. That's what they believe. That's what their perception is. That they sleep with a gun, they walk with a gun, they drink with a gun, they even go to the toilet with a gun. Because that's what they're worried about. Because somebody may base the door down, even the toilet, and pump them bullets in that state and walk away from them. That's the reality. You know, personally, it's a dog's death. Ain't no man's death, if that's what you think. That you think you're big, bad and bold, popped in bullets everywhere, and you think that that's going to be respect inside your life. And that's what some of us Muslim youth, they think, don't they? That if I'm walking with a piece, then you know I'm a bad boy. And in most of you can't even probably pop a bullet anyway. But even though some of the individuals, the reality is that some of the Asian boys, that the drug crime has led them to supersede even many of the black individuals. We documented that many of the Asian drug pushers inside this community are making the black boys push the drugs for them. When many, many years ago, the Asian boys, the peddlers, the foot soldiers would traffic for them. Today it's become such a lucrative industry that you find because of our connections back home in Pakistan and Afghanistan and the heroin trade that we find. It's very easy for us to make those connections, to bring it over in mangoes, bring it over in fish, bring it over in whatever it may be, and bring it over so-and-so's import and export business. I ain't no fool, remember that. I ain't no fool if that's what you think. You've got a great big empire, and you ain't done a day's work in your life, and you're trying to tell me that I'm an honest individual. That's what you're trying to tell the community. It won't take too long. Give us 10, 15 minutes, and we'll tell you who the big peddlers are. It won't take that long. And that's why you find that the 5-0, they don't want to pay attention as well. Because the way they see it, let them battle it out amongst themselves. Let them keep it out in their own community. Because they know that even at times themselves, they may come into that area. That's why they feel scared that we come into that area, we may get shot as well. And it's happened many times. How many innocent individuals? The 2 or 3 girls that got shot, innocent individuals got shot. Now they got women for them, shooting people, setting up people. That's a reality. How many innocent individuals walking by, they get shot. Waste of life. Firstly, you shouldn't be out on the streets anyway. after 9 o'clock, you shouldn't be out on the street. Come to the masjid, pray. Isha, there's no need for you to hang about on the blocks and on the streets. When people say we're just coaching with them, we're moving about with them. How many of these individuals were just coaching with them when they were babies in their nappies? We used to pick them up. Next minute, they become the big dope peddlers. Just by moving about, sitting with them. How many young individuals never knew what drugs were inside your life? But moving about with the wrong type of individuals, you've fallen into that trap. And that's the second fitna that we find. The trafficking of these evil substances. £40 million heroin connection that we find inside this country. Linked back to what? The Muslim community in trafficking of drugs. That's something for us to begin to think about. That why have we become a people who are encouraging other individuals to come towards haram? Why are we becoming other individuals who are encouraging our Muslim brothers and sisters out there on the streets to take these substances or even serving these substances to these individuals? This ghetto mentality won't get you what you think inside paradise. There's going to be no ghetto in paradise. There's going to be nothing but the Bronx inside the grave for those individuals, unfortunately. That's going to be the reality. That they may be aspiring at just because I have a Muslim name. And first inside my books, what many of the masajid should do, they should stop preying upon them. When some of these young individuals, they die, just to send a lesson out to these people, you should stop preying upon them. Sallu ala sahibikum. Go and find someone else to pray upon them. So that would become a message to the community. Because at the moment somebody dies, people try to cover up, he was a good lad, he was this, he just happened to be there, he was the wrong place, he wasn't really doing much, he wasn't really a bad guy. This, that, and the other that you find. It's happened too long inside our community. The message needs to go out that people die in the trafficking of these substances and taking these substances. Then they need to be sent out a message that we're not going to offer your funeral. Go and find someone else to pray your funeral. So that goes out to the community. That, you know, there's Muslim imams out there who are no longer praying upon us. That's something dangerous. They're not seeking forgiveness for us. They're not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We're not saying these people won't be forgiven. That's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But externally, and it's a bad ending. What's classified in the Sharia as su'ul khatima, a bad ending. If a person dies in that manner, taking substances, the way that you die is the way that you'll be resurrected. If a man dies smoking drugs, person will be resurrected on the day in state of intoxication. Person dies committing fornication, committing adultery, will be resurrected on that day, exposed in front of every single individual. So just like you don't want to be exposed upon this earth on the sins that many Muslims may fall into, you don't want to be exposed inside the Akhirah. Because on that day you'll be exposed in front of every single individual. And even more so, exposed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sunnatullahi ala al-ard, sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this earth, is to show, as we began with, the signs of these individuals. That on this earth, there will be no success. There will be difficulties. There will be obstacles. There will be hardships upon those individuals who turn away more and more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus you find, the day of judgment, every single one of us will be asked any 4 or 5 different questions. Amongst those prime questions that we find would be about our time. How did we spend our time upon this earth? How do we spend our young days? وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِيمَ أَفْنَاهُ. When you was a young individual, what did you do with your life? Not when you became an old man, when you became at the age of 50, 60, that's a sign of maturity, that's normal. Person that age will automatically go and perform hajj, start praying, etc., come to the masjid, make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, that's no big deal. Don't think that's something big or something grave. That's no big deal. That's normal for a man to do that at that age. Because they know they're 1 foot in the grave. That's what you call maturity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when you was a young individual, what did you do at that age? What did you do at that time, at the prime of your life? Did you waste your life away? Did you squander your life away? And likewise, about your wealth. How did you gain your wealth? And how did you spend your wealth? Some of these individuals live their lavish lifestyles, want to spend their money on their family, on the people around them, whoever it may be. Haram wealth. Haram wealth spent on their own children, on their own wife, on their own mothers, on their own father, on the people around them. Haram wealth. It's not allowed inside Islam. Whatever is haram, it's not supposed to be spent for a good cause. And to say that the end justifies the means. I do all these bad things, but you know, as long as at the end I do something good, that will justify whatever I've done throughout my life. That's not the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That at the end you can just justify yourself, turn a new leaf, create your empire, and then you build the front, whatever it may be, your car showroom, or your travel agents, or whatever it may be you have at the front to show the people, I've settled down and living an honest life. What's the foundation? The property industry. What's the foundation of whatever you've gained inside your life? So that doesn't justify what some of these people may think that they're doing. Likewise, we find that those individuals, we find about their youth, about their time, about their age, and the whole of their life. What do they do throughout their life? How many of us Muslims know what it means to be Muslim today? Most Muslims, unfortunately young individuals, don't have a clue what Islam is. They come into the masjid, walk out the masjid, walking like sheep, walk out like sheep, go out there, carry on doing whatever they want to do inside their life. Partially, maybe the message is not given to them. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. The prayer takes you away from al-fahsha. Al-fahsha means, doesn't mean evil. It means lewdness, promiscuity, sexual misconduct, wickedness. That's min ma'ani al-fawahish. That's what the prayer does. It takes you away from this type of behavior. It takes you away from munkar. If you understand the real meaning of the prayer, it takes you away from all these evil practices. How many of us Muslims even know how to pray? Some of the Muslims, they don't never pray in their life. They only what? They're prayed upon. That's what's happened to some of our Muslim youth, unfortunately. They are only prayed upon inside their life. And not to sound so harsh, as we mentioned, that a person who doesn't pray is classified as a disbeliever. You could carry out many other different actions inside your life. You could just be a sinful individual. But if you abandon the prayer, that's the fine line. That's what you find if you go to Afghanistan at the moment, they smoke heroin, but when it comes to time for salah, what they do? They put their pots down or whatever it may be, and what do? They read the salah. People say, look at them hypocrites. They're not hypocrites. That's a sin that they have in their life. That's a weakness they have inside their life. But they know that if I give up the prayer, I'm going to become what? A disbeliever. Our problem is, I do one sin, why should I come to the masjid? Why should I bother to come to the masjid? I may as well go and do another sin. Go and do another sin. I may as well just live that life. How many young boys start with that life? Start by firstly thinking, getting involved in what? The other fit. Now women. That's what some boys, they say, look, Sheikh, I don't drink. I don't take none of this. We just like gallanting. What's wrong with that? That's all that I like. What's wrong with that? I guarantee you that in your search for gallanting, you're going to get involved in those things anyway. You'll start drinking. You'll start taking drugs. You'll start doing all types of haram things to get to the end objective. Because not to disrespect women in any manner, but that the woman is a devil in disguise. That's what the Christian teachings teach us. So how many men have given up their faith for the sake of a woman? How many men have given up their faith for the sake of a woman? I'm your Venus, I'm your burning desire. Isn't it? That burning desire is what? The fire of hell. You remember that track, isn't it? Bananarama, isn't it? Eh? See, that's what they sing about, isn't it? Heaven must be missing what? What's heaven must be missing? An angel. Pure kufr. How can heaven be missing an angel? Who's that angel referring to? The girl, isn't it? She's an angel walking upon the earth. She's dropped out from heaven. She's there. That's what this music industry, that's why in our study, what we studied is pure pornography. That's what it is, pure pornography. That's what the Muslim youth are watching, these rap records, these tunes, this industry, and they're looking upon that. No wonder they treat their women like trash. No wonder they treat their women like trash. These people, they treat their women like trash. They're worried about us putting them in the burqa inside the veil. What do you do to your women? You call that respect? Putting a woman on a dog chain and making a lap up milk and rap in front of her face. You call that respect for a woman? No clothes on dancing around you. You call that respect for a woman? That ain't no respect for no woman. And then you're trying to tell us that we're backward individuals. Or you find that these Muslims individuals were knocking out their teeth. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human being. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Created you in the best structure. Why knock out your teeth and put diamond teeth there? Look at me, Mr. $10,000. Or put an earring inside your ear. Forget about your ears now. When we was growing up, that's a sign of homosexuality, wearing an earring. Now pierce your nose, isn't it? pierce your eyebrow, pierce your belly, isn't it? Now you think you're a man? Piercing your nose, walk around a pierced nose. What kind of fashion trend is that? Muslim youth boys tattooing their bodies as well. Tattooing their names across their body. Shame upon you, you're a cursed, wretched individual. You think there's some sign of respect to put your name on your body? Or put symbols on your body? Filthy pictures, images on there. Who do you think you are? Tupac? Is that who you think you are? Or maybe even Mike Tyson? You can see what Mike Tyson's done to his face, hasn't he? Even on his face. Even his face placed a tattoo with, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide him, keep him steadfast on the right path, not showing him respect, because obviously a Muslim brother of ours. But that's obviously the life of Jahiliyyah. But that's what some of our people want to imitate. They want to follow that. They want to crystallize in that. They want to live the life of the ghetto. And be brought up in the ghetto. And you know what? Just die in the ghetto. That's what many of these individuals' life will become. So don't aspire to be like those individuals. Don't never ever aspire to be like those individuals. Because there is no aspiration for you to look up to those individuals and think, that's the person I want to be inside my life. So we mentioned all those groups that we find around us, that we're surrounded by, the Lynx crew, the Lynx gang, or the, as I mentioned, the Muslim Pakistani gang, or whatever, Paki Panthers, or whatever it is that exists around, the redheads, these aspiration B6s that you find as well, or cash for money, whatever it is, that people want to be like those individuals. That we need to create our own framework. We need to create our own network. We need to create our own Tony Montana. We need to create our own Sonny, innit? We need to create our own Godfather. That's what we need to create. That the Muslims come around that individual and become the sophisticated criminals moving around. Go and study the history of all those individuals. That's not a life for us. It's just a make-believe world. It's a pretentious world. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ It's a world of deception. A great big deception. If you think you're real men, that's what these Muslims, they can be real men, then real men don't fall into those traps. Real men don't follow a life of that, of a shallow life. Real men quickly bring themselves out of that life and become those individuals, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ Servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't come out on road for revenge or for revenue or for respect. That's never what a Muslim comes out for. The revenge of a Muslim is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The revenue for Muslim is lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. The respect is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Respect belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the messenger and then to the believers, but most of the hypocrites don't understand this. And likewise that we find in conclusion, that it concerns us. That many individuals think that, you know, why is he talking to us about this? Why don't he just go back to the masjid and sit there and do some dhikr or whatever it may be? Leave us on road to do whatever we want to do. You know, it was my way. If I had my way, but possibly could lead them to more dangers, I'd like to go back on road, even though I never exist on road, go back on road and create my own troop and take these people out one by one. But because it leads them to more harm and more violence, because some of these individuals, they don't have the right senses, it'll take it to a different dimension. And that's the only reason, otherwise many times people have said that we should go back and bust all these people out. Take them all out one by one. But that's the only solution, personally, that may exist for these people. Is to make these people move away from our communities and go somewhere else. And that may be a solution. That if we begin to visualize, even we come out of this masjid now, these people should be told to move along. But the sad fact is that many of us, we look up to these individuals, we respect these individuals, and thus it becomes difficult. There's no respect to be given to these individuals. It has to be crystal clear inside our hearts and inside our mind. And likewise, if these people, they drown, we drown. The effects of the actions of these people is going to fall upon whom? Upon your own children. It will only be a matter of time. Give it 10 years, give it 15 years. The same problems that we're facing today will begin to spill upon our own children. And then we're going to turn around and say, if only we'd done something before. And thus it means that we have to work as a community to remove these people, remove their practices, and tell them if they want to practice these actions to go to another location. Go and find another ghetto. There's no ghetto here. And there'll be no ghetto inside any paradise as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to stay away from these haram actions, this evil life, a life of corruption, and make us die in a state of submission and commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and raise us upon that. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَكَ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَن لَّا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا أَنتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.